भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 16 टेक्स्ट 55 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड किंग चित्रकेतु मीट्स द लॉर्ड। येन स्वापं वेतात्मनस्तदा सुखं च निर्गुणं ब्रह्मा तमात्मानं अवेहि माम्। येन प्रसुप्त पुरुषः स्वापं वेतात्मनस्तदा सुखं च निर्गुणं ब्रह्मा तमात्मानं अवेहि माम्। By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Know me to be the Supreme Brahman, the all-pervading super soul, through whom the sleeping living entity can understand his dreaming condition and his happiness beyond the activities of the material senses. That is to say, I am the cause of the activities of the sleeping living being. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When the living entity becomes free from false ego, he understands his superior position as a spirit soul, part and parcel of the pleasure potency of the Lord. Thus, due to Brahman, even while sleeping, the living entity can enjoy. The Lord says that Brahman, that Paramatma, and that Bhagavan are I myself. This is noted by Srila Jiva Goswami in his Krama Sandarbha. Blessings of the assembled Vaishnavas. We can attempt to say something from this verse. So last few days we are discussing on this topic, dream, reality, etc. And yesterday, very wonderful discussion with Baldev Prabhu we had regarding the dreams and illusion and reality of the perception of devotees on illusion and reality. There was Mr. Ramesh. He was a industrialist, multimillionaire. So he had so many companies under him. And since he had so many companies and he has to get the work done, so he exploited so many of his workers, laborers. They were very upset with him. So one day he was walking in the evening, night, in the garden. So this worker union, they thought, we'll finish him off. So they go and jumped over the fence. And they take the knife and chop off the head of Ramesh. By the meantime, Ramesh alarm started ringing. He got up. Such a horrible dream. But then he started shouting, I lost my head. Started running here and there. I lost my head. Blood is coming, lost my head. So now people are wondering that if you lost your head, how can you say that you lost your head? So the question arises is that he is losing his head or is suffering, is reality or illusion. So many big philosopher, big acharyas argued on this case. What is illusion and what is reality? So many big theories. The whole their philosophy and theology stands on this one simple understanding, whether he is really suffering or is illusion. But as far as Gaudiya Vaishnava understanding is concerned, it's very simple. One time Srila Prabhupada was giving a class and he spoke about how whole material world, everything is temporary. The only reality is Krishna. Krishna's name and Krishna non-different. If you say water, 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 you can't quench your thirst. But if you say Krishna, Krishna is there present in his names. So by hearing this lecture, Gurudas Prabhu and many other devotees, after the lecture is over, they were discussing with each other. So one devotee asked Gurudas Prabhu, "So Prabhuji, did you understood the lecture, what Prabhupada is speaking?" So then Gurudas Prabhu, he said, "Yes." He was very grave and very contemplative mood. So after saying yes, he just left the temple and he was walking with quite tall. And walking on the road, and suddenly he got some realization. I understood what Prabhupada is telling, that the whole world is illusion. So he was seeing everything as illusion, temporary, material world is illusion. So he was walking with Kuital. So then he went to his apartment and he was looking that if everything is illusion and I am not this body, two things are reality. So let me cross this wall, threw in. So he emptied everything from his mind. Surrender everything and empty everything from your mind. So he emptied everything and he convinced this wall is an illusion. And Quintal is looking at him. So Quintal, by the way, is his dog. So he was determined. He meditated and walking one step, second step, and a suspense created. And Gurudas Prabhu also in anxious that everything is illusion. I am going to walk through the wall. He walked one step, second step, third step. And as soon as he reached near the wall, bang! So he thought everything is one and everything is illusion. But it was one. But the oneness was the bang sound of the wall and his head together. So then he become and quit all looking at him, what he is doing. So then Gurudas Prabhu, I think I have not attempted properly. So he shook off all the stars from the head, you know, reeling. So then again he came back and meditated properly. And again with full effort, walked. Everything is illusion. The wall is illusion. I am not his body. Let me enter into the wall. 1, 2, 3, 4, boom. Again got hit. So then he was thinking, my God, looks like the rigidity of the wall is not an illusion. It is quite strong. So 2, 3 times he attempted like that. Then he sat down peacefully. And next day, he decided that I have to ask this important question to Srila Prabhupada. So next day he went. And in the meantime, Prabhupada was very attracted towards the camera of Gurudas Prabhu. He started speaking about the camera. You know, Pentax or Nikon, which is best. So Gurudas Prabhu is behind them. I had to ask some important question. So then finally Gurudas Prabhu asked, Prabhupada, if everything is illusion, why I can't penetrate through the wall? So then Prabhupada just laughed and told that when I say that everything is illusion, the material world is illusion, that means this is temporary in nature. And when we say the spiritual world is the reality. Chanting of the holy name is the reality. Devotional service is reality. That means that spiritual world, chanting of the holy name and devotional service are eternal, not temporary. This is the proper understanding. So then, Gurudas Prabhu realized the proper understanding. So in this way, this is very critical subject matter. One time Srila Prabhupada, we are doing the dressing of the deities. Prabhupada was giving a lecture. So the impersonalistic philosopher, they say that everything is illusion. And it is like, but what about things which you are seeing around, which you are hearing, which you are perceiving, which you are seeing, which you are experiencing? What are these things? So they say that this is like your misunderstanding. Just like there is a rope in the ground, and in the night you are walking, and suddenly you are so afraid and started running back because you thought this is a snake. And when the sun was on in the morning, you went out and you saw this was a rope. Started laughing to yourself. So you thought this is a snake, but it is a rope. So Mayavadi says, similarly, this is actually not existing. It's like your misunderstanding. But then Prabhupada said that actually speaking, it doesn't mean that rope is not existing. They conclude that rope is not existing, you misunderstood as a snake, so that is the problem. Nothing is there. But then Prabhupada said the rope is a reality and the snake is a reality. So snake is existing somewhere and the rope is here. So you misunderstood one thing to be the other. But the Mayavadis got this example and nicely cover it up, saying that this is not there at all. This is your illusion. But Prabhupada said, just like the material world is a reality and the spiritual world is a reality. But to take the material world as a place of permanent residence like the spiritual world is actually illusion. So that's what Prabhupada gave us a teaching, the distinction between the reality and illusion. But then what is the reason this impersonal school of thought is talking so much about this illusion? In fact, the Bhagavad Gita teaches about 5 subject matter in its content. The Supreme Lord Ishvara, Prakriti, the material nature, Jiva, the living entities, Kala, the time factor, and the Karma, the activities. So of all these 5 subject matter, the Bhagavad Gita declares the 4 are eternal: Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, and Kala. But only thing which is temporary is the karma factor. But outside world, the materialistic society takes this teaching into its opposite content. What they say, that Ishvara, we don't accept him at all, even if there is a temporary person like anyone else. And as far as living entities, Jiva, they take the opposite, the body to be the eternal, not the soul. And Prakriti, the material world, they think that this is going to be for everlasting, forever. I can build my empire here. And then, and they think that the other mentality, Asuras, Asatyam Apratishtam, they also say that this world is also illusion. But they're expert, like yesterday Balde Prabhu said, that even though they think this is Swapnaka Dunya, you know, this is all illusion, but still they're expert in enjoying that illusion. So they take this to be opposite. And again, the time factor is eternal, but they think that very soon the time will come, things will change, I'll become, you know, great, or somebody will go down. So very much depending on the time. But the other only thing what they take is eternalist belief or faith on their own abilities, on their own activities. Whatever I do will be forever. Whatever activities I perform will last forever. But the Bhagavad Gita teaches complete opposite science. So the whole things came from these preachings or the misteachings of the impersonalistic school of thought. Their understanding is, Shripa Shankaracharya, he formed this theory saying that if Krishna or the absolute truth is expanding into everything, that's what Vedavyas in his Vedanta Sutra, he established the Supreme Lord is expanding into everything. The absolute truth is everything. Sarvam Kalavidam Brahma. But then Shankaracharya had a difficulty in accepting this. What is the difficulty is, if the absolute truth is expanding into everything, you just like take a paper and you tear the paper into many pieces. And all the pieces are expansion of the original paper. The problem in this is the original paper is missing, number one. Number two, that the individual pieces is nothing but the transformation of the original paper. So Shankaracharya, he could not accept this. The reason is that the same scriptures say God is undividable. Absolute truth is undividable. Nirvikari cannot be changed. So then he thought that something has to be done. So he just word juggled a different, he brought a different theory altogether. So he formed a theory of Vivartavad. What is Vivarta means? Vivarta means that actually speaking, when Vyasadeva says that from him everything expanded, whatever we see is nothing but expansion of God, that actually means that the world around you see is appears to be the expansion of the Lord. You are seeing that, it appears to be same, but because you are an illusion, you are seeing that to be the reality. So he kind of told the people there is differences around, there is people, objects which are seeing around in this world. But actually, this is Vivarta. Vivarta means what? It is like kind of illusion. Vivarta means taking one thing to be the another is called Vivarta. So it is like actually a rope, but you are misunderstanding a rope to be snake. So it is not there actually. But then that means what you want to say? That what we see around is not reality. This world is illusion. And the expansion of Krishna, Krishna, Ram, Varaha, Vaman, all these are all illusion. And the living entities around, they're also illusion. So what is the reality? That you just develop knowledge. Then you will suddenly realize that everything around you is illusion. You are the only reality. And that you is the Supreme Lord. But then the Vaishnava's understanding is that the Shankaracharya had the difficulty to reconcile this both term. How a Lord can be in the spiritual world, at the same time he can expand, at the same time he can maintain his individuality, and this world around here is also will be a reality. So this could not be reconciled by Shankaracharya. So he made this Vivarta or this illusory concept. But Vaishnavas talks about the real Vivartavad. What is the real Vivarta? Real Vivarta, Srila Prabhupada mentioned, not misunderstanding rope to be the snake, not misunderstanding that Krishna to be an illusion, or not misunderstanding that everything around us is illusion. These are all reality. Krishna is the reality, and the world around us is real. And people around us are all real individuals. The material world is reality. Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala, all are reality. But what is illusion? To think these things to be an another factor. Like for example, taking the body to be the self is Vivarta. Taking the body to be the self is Vivarta. That is real Vivarta. But Shankaracharya, he manipulated saying that considering this whole item to be illusion is Vivarta. Anyway, this is a little technical understanding. But the fact is, there is a vast difference in the two understanding. But then how the consequences take place? The consequence is this, that because of this Mayavadi influence, they think that the world is illusion. So everything what we do in this world is not of any importance. So it led to the immoral activities of the people in general. Srila Prabhupada said that the impersonalistic school of thought spoiled the whole India. People gradually went into sinful activities because of the teachings of impersonalistic school of thought. Why? Because if you think you have authority, then you have to obey him. But if you think you are the authority, then there is no one to order you, no one to obey you. So this impersonalist school of thought make oneself as a supreme controller. And if you are a supreme controller, you can do whatever you want. So originally the impersonalist school of thought is propagated for many reasons. So Shankaracharya's purpose of presenting this philosophy is, one of the reason is to increase the effect of Kali Yuga. If everybody is following the proper principles of Vedas, then how the age of Kali will get degraded. So Shankaracharya, with very intellectually, with gymnastic grammar of Sanskrit language, he twisted and he said Vedavyas is bogus. He made mistake. So he said that how we can say that God is expanding into everything? That is not possible. If God is expanding into everything, he doesn't have existence. So what you are seeing is actually not reality. God is somewhere else, because you are seeing an illusion. But once you come to knowledge, this nothing is there, only God is reality. And that God is, you will become that God. Because he can't account for his individual presence. Only reality is God, or absolute truth. So he has to put everything as God, but he doesn't want to do that. So at the same time, what he did? He made, actually these are all not reality. Simple example, Prabhupada speaks in the Bhagavad Gita 2nd chapter, Dehino Asmin Yatha Dehi Purport, that just like there is a moon on the sky, if we keep so many parts down on the ground, so that moon is reflected on the ground. So now, the moon is reflected on the parts of water in the ground. The moon in the sky, so many parts of water is kept on the ground. And every part of water, you will see the reflection of moon. So now, if these different moons are reality, you are perceiving that. And moon in the sky is also reality. But Shankaracharya, what he said, actually this moon in the sky, in the pot, is not reality. It is illusion. He said, if you break the pot breaks, water spills off, then you will see in the sky, there is only one moon existing. Similarly, you, me, women, men, animal, tree, building, etc., etc., are just reflection of the absolute truth. And is actually not even reality. You are thinking this to be reality. So this is not actual reality. You break the pot and you will see only one moon in the sky. So then, how did Srila Prabhupada argues in the same purport of Dehino Asmin Yatha Dehi? He said that Shankaracharya unnecessarily giving a wrong analogy, comparing a pot to be the body of the living entities and moon to be the jiva himself. So Prabhupada gives a counter analogy with the same, taking the same ingredients. So Prabhupada said, our understanding is, there is a moon and the stars are in the sky. When the moon and stars are in the sky, then you also keep so many pots of water. Then in the pot, you will see, the pot is compared to the human body. Within the pot of human body, the water is compared to the subtle body. And within that water, you see the reflection of moon and the stars at this present analogy. So Prabhupada said, in the parts, each and every 100 parts or 1000 parts, you will see star and the presence of moon in that. But then when the influence of time comes, every body have to perish. So the parts were broken. When the parts are broken, what you will see? Still you will see in the sky, there is individuality of the stars and the moon. It is not that stars and moon are becoming one in the sky also. So Srila Prabhupada defeats the conclusions of Shankaracharya, saying that it is not necessary for the absolute truth to become one with the individual soul, either in the conditioned state or in the liberated state. When the pot is broken, when we leave our body, if we are perfect in our spiritual consciousness, we can still go to the spiritual world and maintain our individuality just like the stars and moon. In the conditioned state as a reflection, they are individual, and in the sky also, they are maintaining their individuality. So this is what Srila Prabhupada gives, this analogy. It's very simple to understand. But the reason Shankaracharya spoke this, because he did not understand one simple concept. That one simple concept is the most important factor in devotional service. That is accepting Krishna's inconceivable potencies, inconceivable energies. So, Krishna can be maintain his individual personality in the spiritual world, at the same time he can expand himself in the material world. How is it possible? That is because of the energy of Krishna, the potencies of Krishna working. So Shankaracharya did not accept the energies of the Lord. So he thought if Krishna comes, or the Absolute Truth comes himself, then he doesn't have a place there. But it is just like Srila Prabhupada gives an example. Anybody, a rich man, he has energies. So if you want to buy some great property, he just spends his money, he throws the money, and he gets bungalow. If you want a car, he throws his money, he gets a car. If you want a television, he throws the money, he gets television. Or if you want some nice foodstuffs to be eaten, he employs his own servant and he cooks. So in this way, it is not that the rich man have to do everything by his own. So if a rich man have to buy a bungalow in somewhere distant from his house, he cannot be sitting there, he had to go to that place of bungalow. But if, because the rich man has potencies and energy, he just take a phone call. You know, buy one bungalow in a pinch road. So the bungalow is there, is automatically appears there by his energy, potency and power. So Shankaracharyas could not reconcile that Shakti Parinama, Krishna Shakti can transform, the energy can transform and does various functions without the personal intervention of Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, so the Absolute Truth. He doesn't accept Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. So, but the Vaishnavas, headed by Vedavyas, accepted the transformation of energy theory. And following the footsteps of Srila Vyasadeva, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the Vaishnava Acharyas accept this understanding, and they easily could reconcile that Krishna is the Supreme Lord staying in the spiritual world, but through his energy he is expanding himself into this material world, into various living entities, into various creations. In this way, there is a simultaneous oneness between Krishna and the material world. Why? Krishna and his energies are non-different. In this way, there is no difficulty in reconciling both the factor. So in this case, we easily accept this material world is not a place of illusion. It is a reality. And the spiritual world is also reality. Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is also reality. But when this reality is there, there is no fear that the original reality is getting destroyed. That is also maintained in its own place. What is that verse? Goloka eva nivasate kilatma bhuto. He may be staying in Goloka Vrindavan, but Krishna within this material world is all pervading. So that is a proper understanding of the Vaishnavas or the devotees. So the devotees don't take the material world to be an illusory place, but they take what it stands for. And when we sometimes, Prabhupada is also called this material world as to be illusion. And why did he say that? Again, the reason is Krishna's energies are in different category. Krishna's internal energy is eternal, and Krishna's external energy is also eternal. But there is a difference between them. What is the difference? One is permanent, another is temporary. It comes and goes, on and off, like, you know, a signal. Lights on and off, but here the light is always on. So if a person considers, when a light goes on and off very fast, it seems like it is always there. But actual reality goes on and off, on and off, on and off. So the material world is temporary in nature, but the cycle always comes. It's eternal cycle. So because it is temporary, if you think this is a place of permanent residence, then you are an illusion. Taking the body is eternal, the self is eternal. The body which is made of earth, water, fire, or ether, these ingredients are eternal and the self is eternal. What is the difference? The body is made up of Krishna's external energy, but the soul belongs to the category of Krishna's superior energy. So if you take one to be the other, that is illusion. So that's what taking rope to be the snake. Both are there, but if you take rope to be the snake, that is illusion. But Shankaracharya said both are illusion. So this is the proper understanding. But then what it leads to? It leads that many times the materialistic society, they complain, devotees, you people are escapists, that you don't want to face the reality. See, we are living in this world, we are working hard, you people just want to run away from this. But that may be applicable to the impersonalist school of thought, that these things are illusion, we want to run away. But the devotees of the Lord, they take everything as reality. So the suffering of the people outside world can be seen as some combination of chemical combination and its illusion taking place. So an impersonalistic person can think that these are all illusion. Or a scientist who is also in the category of impersonalistic school, he also thinks these are all illusion. Some chemicals are working with each other. But the devotees of the Lord take everything as a reality, and he understood that because of the illusion of the individual self, he is taking the body to be the reality and he is suffering due to that illusion. So he works on that illusion. He tried to remove that real suffering. So Srila Prabhupada, that's emphatically again and again says that the devotees of the Lord are the most compassionate people. Even though they know that this world is a place of misery and suffering, it is temporary, but still they have so much compassion for the living entities, they go into their individual cases and want to help them. So actually speaking, devotees are not escapists. They are in the world with the people. Rather, the impersonalistic school of thoughts, they are the escapist. So, to give this point, I prepared some pastimes from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it's very short time, but try to say something which is I never tried before. So I seek your blessings. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, is staying in Jagannath Puri. And one time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in his Gambira, suddenly few devotees came running to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ekadina loke asi prabhura nivedila gopina tere bada jana changa chadela. So they came and spoke to Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu, you know what happened? Gopinath Patnaik was raised to the Changa by Bada Jana, that is Purushottam Jana, the son of Pradaparudra. So then Mahaprabhu asked, why it happened to him? Why he was raised to the Changa? So they have been told that Gopinath Patnaik was appointed as a money collector in a place under the control of Maharaj Pradaparudra, and he is supposed to pay the amount of 2 lakh kahanas of conchals, at that time this is the money, to the government, but he did not pay it. He was using it for himself. So then he was being caught, and king told Gopinath Patnaik that you have to give the money back to me. And Gopinath Patnaik said, my dear king, I don't have any gross amount now, but gradually I will pay you back. But for the time being, you take my horses. I have 10, 12 horses. You take a price and take that money for the horses. And king told, okay, I don't know so much about the horse. My son knows about that. Let him decide the price of the horse. So Purushottam Jana, so he went to see the horse. But he purposely gave a very, very less amount for the horse. And this irritated Gopinath Patnaik. And in the meantime, the son of the king had some kind of a syndrome. So he would turn his neck and look like that and speak like that. So immediately Gopin Patnaik, because he knows the king loves him so much, he took that as a concession, and he just spoke like this to Purushottam Jana. My horse doesn't turn their head and look under sky. Why are you charging less? And this irritated Purushottam Jana, and he became so upset and he went to the king and started giving false allegation. King, my dear father, Gopinath Patnaik doesn't want to pay you money and he want to cheat you. So what should I do? Should I raise him on the changa? So Maharaj Pratap Rudra thought that he just want to scare him and want to take the money. So Maharaj said that you do whatever necessary and get the money back and you do the needful. So then immediately Purushottam Jana raised him on the changa. And when this was being narrated to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu became so upset. What is wrong the king have done? He is looting the government's money. The money of the government is more sacred than the money of the Brahmana. So why is looting that? And he is looting this money and spending on his sense gratification, watching dancing girls. So let him be punished. So in this way, Mahaprabhu did not give any attention. So then all the devotees told, my dear Lord, Vaninath Rai is so dear to you, whole family is dear to you, please do something. Then Mahaprabhu, I am a sannyasi, how can I do anything? I just want to relax and in seclusion and want to think about Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. I don't want to intervene in these materialistic affairs, so I can't do anything. But then Swarup Damodar Goswami fell at the feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and spoke, my dear Lord, Ramananda Rai and their family members are your sold out servants. Please do something to deliver this family. Ramananda Rai era goshti sabha tumara dasa tumara alite nahi achana udhasa. So please don't become udhasin. Please do something to deliver Gopinath Patnaik. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastised that you want me to beg in front of the king? I can beg some 5 khandas or something like 5 rupees, but you are telling me to beg 200,000 kahanas, 2 lakh kahanas? How can I do this? So then, immediately some other devotees came and told Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu, Gopinath Patnaik was already raised in changa, is anytime will be thrown, please do something. And Mahaprabhu said, I am a beggar, it is impossible. If you at all want to save Gopinath Patnaik, Tati raksha karite yadi haya sabha ramane sabha mili janaha jagannate racharane ishvara jagannata yanrahate sarva artha kartuma kartum anyata karite samartha. I am a beggar, I can't do anything. If you at all want to protect Gopinath Patnaik, you go to Lord Jagannath. And Jagannath is can do anything and everything. He can do the possible, he can do the impossible thing, make it into possible. So he will help, I can't do anything. Go away from here. When Mahaprabhu gave this message to the devotees are helpless. And the meantime, Harichandan Patra, the minister of Pratap Rudra, he went to the king and told the king, my dear king, your son have raised Gopinath Patnaik on the changa. And the changa means, it is a raised platform, a person is lifted on a changa and below there are upraised swords are kept. So at that time, the executioner throw that person from the top of the platform and he would fell on the upraised swords. Practically, it's killing. So Harichandan told Maharaj Pratap Rudra that why you raise Gopinath Patnaik on the changa? He is your dear servant and the mistake what is made is not that much severe. And after all, if you kill him, how you can get your money back? So you are giving a punishment, huge punishment for a simple crime. At the same time, by killing him, the government will not receive any money. So what profit you will get, my dear king? So please, better take his horses and let him pay the money gradually. So when king knows this, he becomes so upset and he was shocked. Raja kehe yehi baat ami nahi jani, I didn't know this. And this Badajan have done like this. And go immediately release Gopinath Patnaik and stop the prince doing this crime. So immediately, the king, the Harichandan, goes and release Gopinath Patnaik from the Changa. And then this news was given to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then in the meantime, he was being told that not only Gopinath Patnaik was put in Changa, his family members were also arrested, including Vaninath Rai, his father, Ramananda Rai, all the brothers. So then, when this news was there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was upset that they've been arrested. At the same time, he did not want to help. But then, when the news was told again to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are released, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked a question, what Vaninath was doing when he was arrested. So devotees replied, Seka he Vaninath nirbhaya laya Krishna naam, Hare Krishna kahe avishram. So here, the devotee said, when Vaninath Rai was arrested, and without any fear, nirbhaya laya Krishna naam, and he was chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But just chanting the holy names. So then when Mahaprabhu hears this, he becomes very satisfied. And then Kashi Mishra comes a little later to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks with anger to Kashi Mishra. You see, I am here staying in your house to perform bhajan, but so many people are disturbing with materialistic activities. Four times the messengers came and told that Gopinath Patnaik was put in Changa and the family was arrested. They are telling me to do something on this issue. Vishayira varta suni kshubdha yamana tateiha nahi mora tateiha rahi mora nahi prayojane. He said, by hearing the activities of the materialistic people, my heart, I become very upset. So better I don't stay here, I'll go to Alalanath. So here again Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, here he is not ready to accept if somebody takes the sense gratification into their life. Because taking sense gratification means you misunderstood the reality, the false to be the reality. You are the body, you want to enjoy the world. So Mahaprabhu did not accept this theory, and he did not want people complain about him of this materialistic sense gratification is not properly performed. So Mahaprabhu rejected that if somebody wants to enjoy this material world, which is temporary, to be the place of permanent, he becomes very upset. So that is the real vivarta, taking this body to be temporary, the body to be the permanent, body to be the self, that is vivarta. So Mahaprabhu rejected. So in this pastime we see, Mahaprabhu did not becomes very upset if somebody goes to Mahaprabhu and asks for sense gratification. Vishayira vartusuni kshubdha hoyamana tateiha rahi mora nahi prayojana. So then Kashi Mishra slowly, gradually pacified Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu, please don't misunderstand like that. Now onwards, nobody will disturb you on this issue. Anybody suffering unnecessarily because of their own sense gratification desires. You please understand, Gopinath Patnaik is not of that person. He never wanted anyone to come and tell you, only his servants came and disturbed you. And you see, your devotee is Ramananda Rai. Tomara lagi Ramananda Raja Tyaga Kaila, Tomara lagi Sanatana Vishaya Chadila, Tomara lagi Raghunata Shakala Chadila, Hetaya Tahara Pita Vishaya Pataila. Mahaprabhu, for your sake, Ramananda Rai left his Raja Chadila. And for your sake, Sanatana Goswami gave the post of minister. And for your sake, Raghunath Das Goswami left everything. He even rejected his father's money. So these are all your devotees, unalloyed, pure devotees. Please don't leave Alalanath. Further, in the conclusion of this pastime, Kaviraj Goswami and Srila Prabhupada concludes that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not actually work directly to deliver Gopinath Patnaik. And later Gopinath Patnaik was given by the king. He released from the Changa. Plus, because Mahaprabhu is related to Ramananda Rai, and who is the brother of Gopinath Patnaik, so king in order to compensate that, he gave Gopinath Patnaik the same job again. He raised his salary, gave him silken turban, and in this he honored him so much. So Kaviraj Goswami writes, Mahaprabhu actually did not do anything for these things. But just because the message was informed to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, these byproducts, all these opulences automatically achieved by Gopinath Patnaik. And Gopinath Patnaik, he spoke to Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu, by your mercy I got all this benediction, but actually speaking, this is not your real mercy. Your real mercy is you bestowed on Ramananda Rai, you renounced everything and came here. So Mahaprabhu, please give your blessings. I also want to renounce everything. I want to surrender unto you, give up everything. And Mahaprabhu said, if you leave everything and come here, who will maintain your family? Kutumba Bharana, who will maintain your family? So you be in the world and work, earn money, and but don't plunder the wealth of the king. Whatever sense gratification you want to do, do it in a legal way, regulated way. Give the things due to the king, and then you perform whatever activity you want. And then if you do this, you will be of proper character. So here, Mahaprabhu took the case of Gopinath Patnaik, and he did not take the problem what he is facing as some illusion. He took suffering of Gopinath Patnaik as a reality, and Mahaprabhu, with practically not no endeavor, he saved him from the calamity. But at the same time, he also advised Gopinath Patnaik, don't enjoy the false city of this material world. Material world and the enjoyment in this world is falsity. So don't do that as a goal of life. Do what is necessary, because this is a reality, your family is a reality, and people are depending upon you. So do the necessary things in this material world. At the same time, you'll be detached and completely surrendered to Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Supreme Lord Krishna himself, and Krishna actually cares for the devotees. And he does everything what is necessary for the devotee. If it is necessary, he gives the material opulence. If it is not necessary, he takes away the material opulence. But ultimately, as Prabhupada gives a final conclusion in his purport, that renunciation, sannyas, and pence, shilling, and cents, both are external or on the same category of bondage. But only reality is that service to Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. So a sannyasi is also material designation. A rich family man who is dealing with pound, shilling, and pence or money is also material. But when they engage in Krishna service, utilizing their position, that is a reality. Service to Krishna is a reality. Using their position, so in this sense, the money, the world is reality when used in Krishna's service. But if it's not used in Krishna's service, that is illusion. At the same time, renunciation is also not reality, but used in Krishna's service, that is actually reality. So this is the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we'll stop here. So any corrections, comments? Gopinathu. Sorry for being dry. I tried to speak some stories first time. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.